You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
God's house this morning. If you continue to pray for Kate's family, I want you to turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. Hold your finger there and then find Luke chapter 19. The Bible says, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, the Bible says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. When he was come near, this is speaking of Jesus, he beheld the city of Jerusalem, and he began to weep, he began to cry, and he wept over it because of this truth, verse 42, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee. Doesn't that feel like the day and age that we're living in? Thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee around and keep thee in on every side. Now, when Jesus is speaking, he's talking about 70 AD, the coming invasion of Titus, the Roman general. But verse 44 goes on because I believe it's prophetic for today. And shall lay thee even with the ground and the children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I came to you, but you didn't know. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer. I think today we need to turn God's house into a house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we can't make it through this service without you. So God, we ask as you bring us together in unity. I've seen unity today like I've never seen at Renovate Life. I ask God that you touch, Father, and that you begin to move in the hearts of men and women. Lord, this is not an easy thing to preach to them today, but I ask God that they just take a moment and think about what I'm saying. Because, Lord, the world is out to get us. The world is after the church. It's after us as individual Christians. And I pray, God, that we begin to take what you said to us literally, like it's happening now. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart that is open to apply your word. And Father, we'll never fail to praise and lift you up and magnify you in Jesus' precious name, the church said. I see some sweet people in the place, people I've pastored for 3, 5, 8 years. And it's hard for me to tell you that I see that you're far from God, and you're not aware of it. You're not anything like you were 5 years ago or 6 years ago when you wept and you went to the prayer. You came to the altar to pray, and you would stand in line at the church and in the ministry of the church, and you just wanted God to move. Now it's just another Sunday morning. Pastor, you're going to come out and hit us with this right off the bat? You betcha. You won't come back in the evenings. You get upset because you think all I want to talk about is come to church. But I'm talking more about than just coming to church. I'm talking about the atmosphere that's inside of your soul. Your life is not what it used to be in Christ. If you have a special occasion or a holiday or an anniversary or if the grandkids are coming over, that's more important than that church jazz. Amen? Sometimes we purposely schedule those things. But there was times when church was priority. The Word of God, more importantly, was priority. It was preeminent. And the presence of God meant more to you than any prize or trinket that you had. I'm going to talk to you again. I want to say this again. Beware of the strangers that creep in. When David went into the sack with that lady, and she was somebody else's wife, and he got her pregnant and he murdered her husband, the scripture says that Nathan came and began to speak to David, and he gave him a picture, a parable, a story. And he used this word. He said there was a traveler that came in. I want to tell you, church, beware of the travelers. Beware of that emotion that moves your mind and your heart away from the Lord. Beware of the stranger who turns around and says it's okay to do this or that. And it's okay if church isn't your priority. It's okay if you're busy. It's okay if you got other things to do. It's okay if this or that's happening. And I know there's people that say, you know, Brother Dimmel's ignorant. He's old school and he needs some therapy anyway. You don't have to do what he says to do. But I'm telling you, I don't want to listen to myself. I'm going to tell you right now, my God, man, myself scares me. I need Jesus. I need him to move with power and anointing and strength. I need him to touch my body. I need him to touch this church. I need him to touch my family. I need to make him preeminent in my life. God, move in this place and let people see the true you. You understand what I'm saying? I told you guys some things and it's just been on my mind all week. If I told you about the things I think and the things I feel and things I imagine, you wouldn't even let me stand in the pulpit and be your pastor. Now, I'm not a pervert or a degenerate. I'm definitely not a homosexual, and I don't have another woman. But there's things in my life that I need to get close to God. I need to allow God to move. You know, there's human things that come up against us, that rise up against us. And I look at people that are outside the church that used to be hot on fire for God, and they've left the house of God, and they left God's ways. And that can't be better for them, but they've been blinded by the ways of the world, and they think that they're better off where they're at because that's how the devil works. And I don't want you to get there, church. I don't want you to be stuck in that situation because I've been there. I've been numb and I've been broken by this world and I've been broken by church people and I've been broken by worldly people. But listen, if you'll rely on Jesus, you'll never be broken. I'm as human as you are. That's why the Bible says cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're all involved in this. We're not getting out of here. You can't come to church on Sunday morning and get a fix. I can't ride in the back of your car and say, don't do that. You got to take care of it on your own. You got to know your adversary. You got to know that he's going to seduce you. You got to know that he's sleazy and he's slipping over your shoulder and he's trying to find anything that he can get. He studies you. He has directions about you written down. They will fall to this and this will happen in their life if you do this. I'm telling you, he is after you. Well, Pastor, you say he's after me every week. He is after you. He is after your family. And listen, it's not just a little bit after you. He's hot on your trail and you've got to have God to get through it. You've got to have God to stand for you when you can't stand. How many of you are in trouble and don't know what to do? You better stand on the promises of God. Lord, help me. Look at that man. Boy, that man's handsome. But you're married. You look at that lady. Woo-hoo. She's a fireball. You better watch out. Cast that thing down. Why, Pastor? Because it starts innocently. But it'll snatch you. It'll take you away quicker than you thought it would. You got to fight the good fight of faith, the Bible says. You've got to lay hold on eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to wake you up this morning. I want you to hear the word of the Lord and apply it to your life and say, when I leave this place, God is going to change me. I believe it. I receive it. I stand on it. I don't care what the devil says about my body. I don't care that the doctor says I'm broken. I'm going to stand on the word of God. You know why, church? The word of God is all you got. That's it. The devil is going to try to talk to you. The TV is going to try to talk to you. Facebook's going to tell you that there's no reason to believe. That's why you got to stand. When I've done all I can do to stand, stand there for. This is about eternal, everlasting, never dying soul. You don't want to miss the coming of Jesus, do you? It's right here. It is right here. Listen to me. You can't wait to get ready. You got to be ready because the coming is now. The coming is not, it's now. It's now. Jesus is knocking on the door and we're just life as usual. Business as usual. Our day as usual. We do whatever we need to do and we don't give God a second thought. But you better be in prayer. You better spend time with God. You better speak to the Lord and say, God, I don't know what this day is going to hold, but I'm in your arms and I'm in your hand and whatever you cause or whatever you do, God, I'm going to be okay with it. Well, that's a hard statement. Greatest thing in your life is the presence of God. Sin is the stranger. Sin is the stranger that strips you and shames you and seduces you degree by degree, one degree at a time, church. One little instance at a time, one little thing. We become desensitized. Then we start saying, yeah, well, it's no big deal. It's not a big thing. I'm telling you, I have a mandate from the Lord. I started it last week. It says, angel of the church, tell my people of the church that they're not right. They're not doing what they're supposed to. That's the word of the Lord. That didn't come from James Dimmel. That came from the Lord. He said, watch out, be ready, listen, be scared, because I'm coming as a thief in the night. Well, we don't want to be afraid of the Lord, but I'm telling you this, you better be afraid of the Lord, or you're going to, or you're going to face the iniquity of Satan. I have a mandate. He said, they're unaware. Strangers have stolen their strength, and they don't know it. They're not aware of it. Their leadership have wanted to be liked instead of being biblical. Oh, help me. That's why we take such prohibition. Think about your children, church, when they're little. Think about your grandchildren. You protect them from the street, don't you? Now, I met some people that don't. But for the most part, we protect them from the outlets and the sockets and the wires. We protect them from doing things that's going to harm them, don't we? Why? Because we know that they're unaware. They don't know that they're in danger. They have no idea.
My God, my heart cries out for the people of God. Lord, help them to understand. Help them to be aware, because they have no idea. My heart's been broken the last 4 or 5 days. I don't know if you've seen TV, radio, whatever, newspapers, if they even still have those. Poor mothers all over the place are losing their children. Have you seen it? They're investigating all over. They've been abducted. They've had their children ripped away from them, and they're being raped and molested, and sex trafficking is at an all-time high. What is wrong with this world? I'll tell you, people don't know that they need Jesus, and they're worried about everything else. They're trying to fill their life with something that is meaningless, and parents all over the world are frazzled and scared to death, and they've lost their children. That is a picture of the church. That little kid didn't know that man was going to sexually molest them. They didn't know that stranger was going to get to them. They didn't know that stranger was going to pick him up. Children are unaware. Moms and dads, we need to be aware. We need to make our children aware. God help me right now. We need to take measures to make ourselves aware, so that we're not so busy, so we're not just muddling through life. Every instance that you have, every moment that you have, should be a moment that is appointed direction in the way that you go. You should be ready for God. You should pray and spend time knowing that just 1 second, it's not just a second in the vapor of life. It's a second that matters. We're so far off base. We don't know where we're at. It's not enough just to come and clap, throw a few bucks in the offering plate, pay your tithes, stand when they sing. That's convenience. But that's not Christianity. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if I go to a Garth Brooks concert, I'm going to clap. If they ask me for a couple bucks, guess what? I'm going to throw it in the plate. Well, that's what you do at the house of God. So how's that any different in the world? I'm going to tell you what makes it different. When you pray and you call out to God and you worship Him as if He's the majesty of this world. And listen, He's not just the majesty of this world. He's the majesty of heaven. He flung the stars out of His fingertips and drew a line in the sand and told the ocean it could only go so far. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. 2 times in one verse it says, and he knoweth it not. Watch this. Gray hairs are here, but they knoweth it not. It's like leprosy. Have you ever really studied leprosy? It damages and it deadens the nervous system. Think about it. First you lose your feeling. After you've lost your feeling, and you've had much damage to the nerve integrity, it reaches the extremities. It reaches your nose and you lose your nose. And it reaches your fingers and you lose your fingers. And you lose your toes. Well, what happens? They rot off. You could put your hand in the fire and be totally unaware of the fire, because there's nothing there to alert you that there's something wrong. I've been desensitized by the disease. I've been flawed. You hear me? It says strangers have taken His strength and stolen it. Heathen ideas, heathen practices have hurt Israel, drained them of their identity. Now, I know that I'm not a legalist. I'm not a bondage guy. I'm really not. I don't care what you say. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm very tolerant of that kind of stuff, really. I don't preach a stringent dress code. Well, you can't do this and you can't do that. I try to give you some structure, or you just kind of walk your own way. But I try to do my best to give folks what God would want them to have. But I can't afford to be lost. You hear me? I can't lose my soul because you're doing something crazy and acting nutty. I can't do it. The most perilous condition possible is now, church. We're right there. The most perilous condition is to be unaware. It's like that you have no radio and the hurricane's about to hit. Can you imagine the condition you'd be in it not to know? Can you imagine no media and there's a tornado that's about to take your house out, or there's pestilence and bugs that are coming after you and you heard about it but you don't have any way of updating your situation and you don't know and you're unaware? What do you do? That's how the church is right now. The problem is we can be aware. And we've heard it all of our lives. We should know better than anybody. But it's business as usual. The Antichrist is on the horizon. Jesus is coming. Business as usual. Get the kids up. Put their lunch in their backpack. Get them off to school. Get them off to the liberal world. Get them off to that world that is going to tell them that Christ doesn't exist and they're wasting their time. Coming of the Lord is drawing near. Church, you better not lay down. You better not lay out a service. If anything, you need more church. You don't need less church. He said so much more as you see the day approaching. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? The Lord is coming. Your children could be lost. You could be lost. Well, I don't like this kind of message. Well, I don't know what to tell you. This is all I got. I don't want us to be lost. I want us to be aware. The church should be aware. Awake, awake, O sleeping giant. In the normal, natural world, you know when you have gray hair. It says gray hairs are here and there and they know it not. Well, that's not natural. You should know if you got gray hair. If you don't know, everyone around you will tell you. I went to the barber. She's cutting my hair and she said, it's awful gray up there. You shut your mouth. It's snowing. It ain't snowing. I'm 40 years old. It's not snowing at all. She said, boy, your hair is silver. I said, well, that's fine. That don't bother me. And a lot of people, it bothers. We get proud. We need to just for men. Someone's coming to the house. We got to hurry to the bathroom and squirt that stuff in our hair and rub it all around. But with gray comes many options. With gray comes wisdom. With gray comes understanding. You people with gray, even if you've hidden it, even if you painted over it, you listen, because there are people sitting in the church that don't know. It's our job to teach them. You don't have time to lay it home. You've got to declare to the younger generation who Jesus Christ is. Make them aware. What if I had a cure for cancer and I didn't tell you? Well, how would you feel about me? Things that are unnatural in the flesh are very, very normal in the spiritual world. We can sit in the house of God and become so desensitized, right in his house. You can sin and have no sense of shame right here. There are things that people whisper in the church. Well, they don't whisper. They yell it right out loud. That would have never been talked about in the church 10 years ago. And we wear it as if it's a badge of honor now. Lord, help us. God, help us. I know who you are. You go places you shouldn't go. You watch things that you shouldn't watch. You enjoy stuff you shouldn't enjoy. You know, Paul wrote to the church and he said, not only are you not supposed to do those things, the things that the children of darkness do, but you take pleasure in them. You take pleasure in watching what they're doing on TV. You take pleasure in acting like, you know, when I was a kid, everybody wanted to be Tupac. I'm not kidding. Man died and everybody wanted to be a rapper. Little kids in cities like MacArthur. Probably not, buddy. We want to be a movie star or a football player. Why don't we just want to be Jesus? Why don't we just want to be Christian? Why don't we just want to be holy? Why don't we just want to be set apart, sanctified for the work of God? Lord, help me. We go to dirty places. Oh, you don't think I know? I know. Pastor, why don't you say anything? Why don't you confront my nasty carcass? I have no right to do that. What if I was to confront you and you never came back to the house of God? The only place you're hearing it is the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, without him, I'd be worse off than you. We need Jesus. The church needs Jesus. We need to believe in the word of God. We need to get in the word of God and find the promises of God and stand on the promises of God. That's all you have. Lord, help me. You know, I pray every time that you're allowed to come to church. You people that do your own thing, it's my heart's prayer. God knows my heart. Lord, that you just touch them when they're in this place. Say something to them. Lord, speak something through the singing and through everybody that they hear that might change their heart and change their direction and change their mind and change their way of thinking. God, right now I pray that you touch them in the morning when they get to the house of God, and that you touch them if they come back on Sunday night and Wednesday. Don't let it just be mundane to them. Change the way that they feel about you, Lord, because we become desensitized. Help me. Oh, you used to run to the altar. You used to cry out. Oh, you used to. Now there's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no God, I need you. There's no fear of the Lord. We become carnal and worldly. It's a tendency of man to fall backwards. We've become inactive Christians. Help me. Our conscience is seared. It's inactive. Seared with a hot iron. That's what the Bible says. Is it possible to sear your conscience with the repeated deeds of what we've done against the Lord so that after a while we feel nothing? Well, I don't want to be part of the world, but I don't want to be part of the church either. So we got down to nothing. You know, when I came to church, the worst thing on TV, they didn't even say the word hell when I started coming to church. Now, as a kid, the Lone Ranger, Andy Griffith, Roy Rogers, you know, Rin Tin Tin. They'd have a fist fight and they'd miss each other by 3 feet. It's not the same today. Why? Because the seductive spirit of the world has desensitized us. We set our kids in front of it for hours. Video screens that are killing left and right, and we're comfortable with it. Oh, I can't even say the words on TV. I can't even give you an example, but you know. So vulgar. Our love for God and our love for the church, our love for the kingdom, has grown so cold. We become so indifferent. It's the condition of the soul, and we think, well, it's no big deal. We're totally unaware. Numbness has become a silent killer. The mundaneness of coming to God's house is the silent killer. It's the old story of putting the frog in the pan. Any of you ever heard of it? You buy a frog, you put the butter in the pan while it's cold, set the frog down in the pan, and you ease the heat on. The frog will sit there. You know how we did that in science class when I was a kid. How morbid is that? That's where I got the butter from, because I would have never known to put butter in there, but our teacher put butter in there. And they boil from the outside in as they sit there. In the heat, you turn the heat up just a little. Just a little more. Just a little more. Next thing you know, you've killed the frog. And they never knew. They were unaware. Think about it. Is it so that our adversary just suddenly seduces and desensitizes us? I'm not talking to just a few of them. I'm talking to all of us, every person in the place. It used to be a big thing to miss the house of God. Now if we have a revival, no one shows up. Boy, it's quiet. The same with that wonderful fellow that was anointed from his mother's womb. His name was Samson. The Bible says God anointed him to do great exploits. He became so loose in his living, so loose with his morals, he was unaware, violating his Nazarite vow. There's not a more stringent vow on earth. He violated it. By touching dead carcasses, he reached into the dead carcass and pulled out the honey. Do you remember the story? He messed around with women. The book said that they were immoral, sleeping around. Then all of a sudden doing his church thing. One day, with his head in the lap of Delilah, it was nothing but hell's secret weapon. To snatch his secret, the secret of God from him. He fell asleep. And she cut his hair. She slapped him and said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he jumped up, unaware. He didn't know that the presence of God had left him. Oh, you think about it. I don't ever want to be in the place where the presence of God leaves me and I'm unaware. The Bible says they bound him and they put out his eyes. It says, and he wist not that the Spirit of God had left him. Wist not means didn't know. What a terrible condition. To play with sin for so long that when the creator of the universe comes and takes it. You don't know. Is it possible for a person in church to lose the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, it is. Is it possible for God to step away from a person who's been desensitized by the world, who becomes vulgar and vile? Yes, it is. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. It's not even Bible. The warnings for Jesus were what? Beware. Watch out. Don't get drunk with the spirit of this world. Lest your master shows up and you're not ready. And they cast you into outer darkness. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't tell me God's stuck with us. He's not stuck with us. Listen, Matthew 24, 37 and 8. But as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in that day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. There's nothing evil or wicked or sinful about eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's nothing wrong with that. The issue was that they were out of balance with God. They were unaware. You can't find anything in the scripture. I've studied it and studied it and studied it. I've read every commentary that I can find in every biblical dictionary. You cannot find where Jesus said that those group of people had a relationship with him. It's business as usual. Watch what Jesus says. It's terrifying in verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came. Took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. They didn't know. Judgment was coming. The preacher was declaring. The preacher was telling them. What is he saying? Get ready. Get ready. God is coming back. He's on his way. And the ark shut up. Because they could have cared less. They thought the preacher's a stupid fool. Keep your nose out of my life. And so they went into the judgment. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Watch this. Are you ready for the next verse? Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. You're working in the hay. One driving the tractor, one throwing the bales on the trailer. Oh, we had a good service Sunday night. Yes, we did, the other guy says. Oh, God changed me that moment. I appreciate the fact that God did this or God did that, or the preacher said what he was supposed to say as they throw the hay bales up. The guy just keeps working and he knows that all of a sudden the tractor starts to veer off. What in the world's going on? Because we talk church all the time. We act holy all the time. But the truth is our hearts are unaware. Look up. One man's gone, the other one's stuck in the field. You know, if you're once saved, always saved, you can't be lost. Well, what matter? Why does it matter what hour he comes then? Well, what are we talking about, Jesus? Do not be seduced and deceived by the spirit of this world. In another place, Jesus says, "Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth?" When he comes, he'll find church steeples. He'll find churches. He'll find beautiful architecture. He'll find stained glass windows. He'll find $5,000 front doors for the people of God to walk through. But will he find any faith? Will he find anybody that's faithful? Matthew 24:43. But know this. Listen to me. That if the good man of the house had known and what watch the thief would have came, he would have watched. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Did you hear it? He didn't know. Because he didn't know, he lost his stuff. Verse 44. Therefore be ye, or you, also be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. There's 10 virgins waiting on the bridegroom. Let me just tell you, let's take all of the theology out of it. There's 10 people waiting on Jesus to come back. Five of them had oil in their lamp and five of them had none. And they came to the people that had oil in their lamp and they said, "Yo, can we borrow a little bit?" And those people said, "Well, we don't have enough for you." Now, I preached a message one time that why does the church not have enough oil? But that's not what I'm preaching today. What I'm preaching is you got to save your oil. Amen. Because God's coming back. You better declare to the world that he's coming back, but you've got to have enough oil. You can't give your oil to them. You can't just be okay because they're unaware. Is it possible that we can be diminished spiritually and not know it? He said that's how it was in the days of Noah. And they didn't know anything until the flood came and took them all away. Consider, church, just for a moment, I promise you I'm about to close. Good, because I've had all this I can take. Consider the condition of Sodom. Two supernatural angels from heaven come. Now you think about it. They come to get Lot out of this mess, and the men are beating on the door. Let us in. Let us in. And Lot says, no, you can't sleep with my daughter. And they say, we don't want to sleep with your daughter. We want those angels in there. Come, let us lie with them. So depraved. So messed up. So, oh my God, Satan had overtaken their mind, unaware that they wanted to sleep with the holy. Dealing with the supernatural. You have no idea of the horror of their spiritual condition. Think about it. Some of us have no idea how far we are. We used to love the Lord. We used to love the house of God. We don't love it anymore. You used to be intense about it. You used to teach your children intensely about who he was. Not anymore. You used to have a passion for God. Not anymore. Well, what has happened? What has happened to us? Strangers have stolen our strength. We don't know it. Gray hair have appeared, and you don't ever check the mirror. You don't know it. Church, I'm the worst hypocrite. I'm the most vile trespasser in the world. But if I don't stand flat-footed and tell you, hear the word of the Lord, I ask God to protect me from peer fear. I'm asking God to protect me from crowd scrutiny. Protect me and protect you. Because they're going to be offended, Lord, and that's not what I want. But I can't help it. The letter was written to the angel of the church. God has never asked our advice on anything. He'll never ask you to run his church. It's not because I'm greater or better than you or holier than thou. I was given a privilege and an honor, a responsibility to be the angel of the house of God, the shepherd, to communicate what God communicated to me. Just like he did for the nation of Israel. Now listen to me. He didn't tell kings and rulers how to rule. He told prophets how to give direction. That's what preachers are. They're prophets that give direction. I'm not here to rule you. The Holy Ghost should rule in our lives. The only reason that I'm here is to give you Old Testament understanding that has burst into the New Testament direction. A prophet is meant to give direction. That's all. You can leave this place today. And go away and live the way you want to live. You know, some of you have the Holy Spirit. You really do. But when you go live how you want to live, what you're saying to the Holy Spirit is, shut your nasty mouth. Keep your hands off my life. It's a terrible thing, a terrible place to be. I'll leave you with one more thing as the music comes. There was a woman at the well. She shacked up with five men, or had five husbands before the instance. She always got a bad rap, like she's some whore or prostitute, but I'm not really sure. That's not what the Bible says. She could have had five husbands that died. She could have had five husbands that left her. I know she was in an immoral situation with a man that wanted her body but didn't want to give her his name. I do know that, and it's tragic. Jesus just sat on the well and he talked to her, because he never found one case that was not savable. Not one. He never found anybody beyond grace. He never found a condition that was so bad that he couldn't fix it. It's Jesus. Well, I don't know about him. I don't believe that way. We've got so many rebuttals and responses, but Jesus never found one. You know, we got enemies. We won't tell our enemy about the Lord. We won't walk up to our enemy and say, "Ooh, the Lord's been so good to me." But your enemy is not the Lord's enemy. Jesus made a specific journey to see her. She was worth enough. He sat on the well in John chapter 4 with the woman of Samaria. She's living with this man. She's sinning, and she turns around and he says something to her. He says, "Ask me for a drink." Then he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was talking to you, listen to me." But she didn't know. She was unaware. She thought he was just some Jew arguing about religion. She didn't know. She didn't know. I don't want to be in the place where I've been churching it up my whole life and not know the King of Glory. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." I want to know. She didn't know. How do we tell them? Sometimes we're going to have to settle in the well and wait for them to come our way so that they can find real. See, we've put so many things in the church, so many programs. So many, I'm not saying you don't need structure, but I remember the day when I didn't care about parking lots. I remember the day when I didn't care about the tithe report. I remember the day when I didn't care about who did the devotion. But we've become professional church people. Oh, I just want people to know. He came to sit on the well so that she knew. It's that simple. You're sitting there on the church pew today. Think of one person that you would just go and sit on the well with. Not the person that you've always tried to get to church. That person that you hate and you don't like and you want to bust them right in their fat lip. Think about that person. Because they don't know. They don't know. The church has been, we've been in church for so long. And we forgot to set on wells to bring people to the Lord. What has wrecked my life over the past week is she did not know. Who do you know that you come in contact with every day? Who do you know that doesn't know him? Sit down and have a conversation. Because I don't care what you think, the Lord is coming back. Everybody stand with me. Help us to be men and women that know Lord, I don't want to be unaware when you come. God, I ask that your presence sweep over this place. Move with direction and authority. The church person that has become numb. God, I pray right now that you touch them and that you help them. And you move on with your direction. But Lord, help us to be people that see when they don't know.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.